And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, there's a difference between the words anti-Semite and anti-Christ. We never think of that, do we? Anti-Semite versus anti-Christ. I would much prefer to be called anti-Semite than Antichrist, wouldn't you? Think about it. Anti-Semite is a term that really was coined, around 1930 somewhat. 1930, and it really means that you're against the Semites, which makes no sense at all. This was the days before the DNA test of Watson and Crick in the 1960s. They came up with DNA. Before that, we didn't know about DNA, the helix. And now we do know, and we're able to trace our race all the way back. Get a little bit of blood, a sample of blood, and you're able to find out every race that the person is a part of. Boy, isn't that a shocker? And you can find out if a person really is an anti-Semite. He's a person who opposes the Jews, the Semites. Well, in any case, anti-Semite is not a word that appears in the Bible. But Antichrist is a word that appears in the Bible. Now, Lanny Kreveling sent me a paper about this. She said, today, too many Christians are more concerned about who is an anti-Semite rather than who is Antichrist. And unfortunately, in these last days, people don't understand where the word Semite even came from. Abraham, was he a Semite? He did descend from Shem, but we really don't know, do we? Because Abraham came from Ur and the Chaldees. He was a Chaldean, Sumerian, Babylonian. So he was a Babylonian. He was an Iraqi. Today he would be, well, he would be a Jew. Or would he? You know, this is what people don't understand when they talk about the Jews today. The Jews are only one of the 12 tribes. Well, in any case, we have this term anti-Semite, and then we have the term Antichrist. The Bible says don't make a pact with unbelievers. Because, after all, what does Belial have to do with Christ? What does light have to do with darkness? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. We must be good ambassadors for Christ. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. Who is Antichrist? I guess it all comes down to those who hate Christ, the Antichrist. We read quite a bit about the Antichrist in the Bible, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, Paul said, don't let anybody deceive you. The Antichrist will not come until there first be a falling away from the truth. And then the Antichrist, the son of perdition, that is, will be, brought into the world. Later on, the Bible talks about the Antichrist. And while, you have to ask yourself, boy, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're of the Antichrist. That's what the Bible actually tells us. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, You're of the Antichrist. So there is the Antichrist, a man with the number 666, Revelation 13, and then there are many small Antichrist. You know, when we look at the structures of Judaism, we can see that they've had a number of Antichrist. Bar Kokhba was one of them. Simon Bar Kokhba. He came out of the Roman Empire about 132 AD. And his name was Simon Bar Kokhba. It was a Jewish revolt. It was an amazing revolt. It spread throughout the Roman Empire. And this Jewish rebellion took place and resulted documents discovered back then tell us that Kokhba actually called himself the Christ. He was the son of a star. There shall step forth a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Well, it turned out not to be so true. Bar Kokhba was put down by the Romans, and it just didn't happen to be true. We have a lot of Jewish festivals today, and a lot of them have to do with Judaism. For example, my good friend Dr. John Barella of Today the Bible and You says, blessings will abound for those who love and bless Israel and the Jewish people, and curses will fall upon the enemies of evil, the enemies of Israel. This is the Abrahamic covenant, but John Barella is wrong. It doesn't say that at all. I get that in the mail all the time. Dear Tex, blessings will abound for those who love and bless Israel and the Jewish people, and curses will fall upon the enemies of Israel. It doesn't say that at all in the Bible. But people still want me to live by that. I got the newsletter of Joseph Chambers, Dr. Joseph Chambers, a good friend of mine. And he says that at the judgment throne of God, we'll be judged on what we did about Israel. Well, it doesn't say one thing about Israel. We'll be judged. Yes, we will be judged on what we did about Jesus Christ. It seems like anti-Semite and anti-Christ are just confusing words, because people cannot understand them. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about these words, anti-Semite and anti-Christ. There have been a number of anti-Christ. Sabbatai Zvi was one of them. Now, back in, 1666, Sabbatai Zvi came on the scene. And he really disturbed the great Ottoman Empire. And he claimed to be Christ. He was a Kabbalist, a Sephardic Jew, who claimed to be the long-awaited Jewish Messiah. And he founded the Jewish Sabbatean movement. And many people believe it's still prevalent today, the Sabbatean movement. At the age of 40, he was forced by the Ottoman Sultan, Mehmed IV, to convert to Islam. Some of his followers also converted to Islam, about 300 families who were known as the Don Mei. The Don Mei converts. And today, they still have Jews who are Don Mei. Now, the interesting thing about Sabbatai Zvi is he believed you should draw close to evil, as close as you could, and, partake of evil. And then at the same time, you should partake of the good. So, how is it that you can be both good and evil at the same time? You've got to be able to partake of the evil or you won't even understand it, he says. Well, that was convenient to a guy who, to save his own skin, converted to the Ottoman, to the Muslims. Then he told the other Jews, you need to convert too. Sabbatai Zvi in Turkey, a Jewish Messiah. Well, in any case, we have all of these anti-Semites, and then we have the Antichrist. Now, anti-Semitism is a real weapon of mass destruction and Holocaust denial. Here's what Israeli Minister Shulamit Alani said in an interview on a show called Democracy Now! In Israel. He said, well, it's a trick. We always use it. When somebody from Europe is criticizing Israel, then we bring up the Holocaust. When in this country, the United States, people are criticizing Israel, then they are anti-Semite. And the Israel lobby is very strong and has lots of money. And the ties between Israel and the American establishment, the Jewish establishment, are very strong. And they're strong in this country, as you know. And they have power, which is okay. Well, it's a trick. We always use it. When somebody voices an opinion against Israel, suddenly they become anti-Semite. I'm often called anti-Semite. You've got to support Israel at all costs, even if it means Americans pay and die. Well, I don't go for that at all. I'm an American firster. And I think that, you know, to support Israel, a very weak Israel, is a bunch of baloney. Oh, well. You know, Professor Stephen Walt of Harvard is co-author of the book, The Israel Lobby in U.S. Foreign Policy. And he highlights how Congress submits to Israel rather than the American people. And they do. And they'd rather send money and weapons to kill Palestinian children than to save America's hungry, our homeless, our unschooled children. Now, how long is a Gentile world of 7 billion going to remain silent and submissive in the face of Israel's genocidal wars against defenseless children in Palestine and Lebanon? Are we Gentiles created only to serve the Jews? That's what Rabbi Ovadiah Yosef said. Rabbi Ovadiah Yosef is the leading rabbi in Israel. He's so powerful that Benjamin Netanyahu has to meet with him to tell him, you know, whether we're going to have a war against Gaza or the Palestinians or the Lebanese or Syria or Iran, and get his permission. Rabbi Ovadiah Yosef. He recently gave a sermon in which he said that we Jews are, of course, Semites. And all anti-Semites, says the rabbi, will be destroyed. And he doesn't care about the Antichrist because he doesn't really believe in that. But he said basically that all Gentiles are donkeys. All Gentiles are donkeys. And what's a donkey good for but to be a slave for the Jews? You know, I just don't feel like being a donkey, Rabbi. I don't think I'll be a donkey. Do you, good friend? No, I think we'll forget about that. We'll forget about giving up the donkey. Now, anything that has to do with the Jews is good. Who says? Well, the Jews, of course. And anyone who has anything to do with the anti-Semites is bad. Who says? Well, the Jews, of course. For instance, I was reading something from one of the Jewish ministries. I get these things from the Jewish ministries all the time. And this Messianic ministry, when it says Messianic, it always means that the guy will call himself a rabbi, even though Jesus said, call no man father except the Father in heaven. Call no man your father. I don't call Catholic priests father. I don't call rabbi's father, a rabbi. The Messianic ministry said that their child was circumcised per the Jewish ritual, and this brought him into the Jewish seed of Abraham. Oh, they were so happy. The little boy of a certain age must be baptized, and he's brought into the Jewish seed of Abraham. Now, Galatians chapter 3, we're told that all people, circumcised, uncircumcised, Jew, Gentile, who believe in Jesus, become Abraham's seed. Heirs according to the promise given Abraham. Now, I think it's very strange to have a little kid and to have him circumcised in a Jewish ritual and to tell him this brings you into the Jewish seed of Abraham. The kid must really be mixed up. You know, I get letters all the time from Jews and former Jews about their pastors. These pastors are getting weirder and weirder. They're really, well, you know, they're becoming Antichrist. They're becoming Antichrist. They have the minds of the Antichrist. I was reading Moses from the house of, let's see, well, I guess you could say he was the house of Israel. And Moses never did see the Holy Land before he died, never saw Israel, and yet he's considered of the house of Israel today. Isn't that strange? But in any case, here's what he said about the last days for the Jews. He said, "For I know that after my death, ye will utterly corrupt yourself and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands." Wow. Boy, that sure has happened. Now that's in the King James Bible. Deuteronomy 31 verse 29. Imagine Moses before he dies telling the Jews, telling them that I know after my death, you will utterly corrupt yourself and turn aside from the way I've commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days. When? In the latter days. When? In the latter days. The last days. Because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hand. He says that the people of Israel will not turn into a nice, wonderful, lovely country. It's a place you won't want to visit. I don't know why Christians go there today. I've never wanted to go to Israel. People have asked me, wouldn't you like to go to Israel? No. I've never felt a need to go. Why should I? It's a morose, bad place where the rabbis rule, and it's a place of despair, of horror, of killing. Huh. Now, this is a last days prophecy for the Jews. See what it says here? I know that after my death, you will utterly corrupt yourself. You will utterly corrupt yourself. And turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And turn aside from the way. And evil will befall you. Evil will befall you. In the latter days. Because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the works of your hands. This is, you know, the fact is, many so-called Jews, you know, I'm trying to be kind here to Jews, but there's no way. I mean, they're going to do evil. They're going to be, you know, are you a Christian Zionist today? Are you an Antichrist? It says in Amos, can two walk together lest they be agreed? You can't walk with a Jew and be agreed. I remember going to a prophecy conference in up in Canada, and boy, somebody asked me, did I think it was inappropriate for one of the Christian speakers who was there to go to a conference where there were, you know, Christians, and to pray in the name of the you know, father of Jacob and Moses and Abraham. And I said, well, why didn't he just say Jesus Christ? Well, he didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to say Jesus Christ because he may influence the Jews that were there. Well, influence them. Well, influence them. Yes, do that. You know, are Christian Zionists a threat to us all? I believe they are. Well, people have so warped in their minds this Jewish thing. They're so warped. Listen to what it says. John the Baptist, the doom he pronounced. Even now, he said, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. See, judgment begins in the household of God. And judgment is greater and stricter than will befall others when it hits in the church. The axe is laid to the root of the trees. I mean, the tree is brought down, dear friends. It's not just a little branch is cut off. Because when a branch is cut off, the tree grows even greater. For every branch is cut off, two or three branches grow back. But when you take it to the root of the tree and you cut that off, because it doesn't bear good fruit, it's cut down and thrown into the fire. And you can't bear good fruit if you're walking hand in hand together with someone who doesn't even agree with you. Can two walk together lest they be agreed? Can you walk with a Jew? See, some people ask me, is this a Judeo-Christian country? Well, it might be, but that's not what's intended. And I don't understand pastors saying we have a Judeo-Christian philosophy. I don't want a Judeo-Christian philosophy. I don't want anything Judeo. And, you know, you can go to some churches and pastors, and all you hear is Israel, 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 from the time that you start in the church. And there's no understanding of Christianity. There's no love of the Christian church. I mean, I don't understand the words of Paul are not found. Why they're not found in the Christian church? Why is that? Why is it that we're always leaning back into Israel? You know, I many years ago before I got into Christian ministry, I just moved to Austin and I wanted to go to a church. So I went to one of the largest churches here, a Baptist church, and every week without fail, the man preached on David in the Old Testament. Well, David was a very admirable person, but I wanted to hear about the New Testament. I want to hear about Jesus. If you don't study Jesus, you're not studying at all. I want to learn about the one whom I am to follow. The one who came for me. The one who died on the cross for me. Now, I think it's important to study David and, you know, all of the great prophets of the Old Testament. And you can do that in Sunday school. But when you get to church, I think it's only right to learn about Jesus, to know about Jesus Christ, to learn about his church, the New Jerusalem. And I couldn't believe it that Christians did not know that they had joined the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, we'll join that someday. Someday. Well, you know, right now we're studying. Studying to be a Christian, but you haven't become a Christian. Well, that's later. I couldn't find the Church of Jesus Christ. And then there's the ones that, well, that want to get you into Judaism. They just want to get you into Judaism. For example, there's a new book out, The Real Kosher Jesus, by Dr. Michael Brown. There, you can learn all about Jesus from a Jewish standpoint. Demonstrates how the deity of Yeshua, as described in the New Testament scriptures, does not conflict with traditional Jewish thinking. Now, isn't that a real dandy? The Real Kosher Jesus. You know, I was studying something that happened. Evidently, there's a big church in Hammond, Indiana. First Baptist Church there has thousands of members. And it did have a pastor there named Jack Hiles, who died in 2001. And somebody sent me a sermon that he gave, and he put it in his book, Meet the Holy Spirit and the Opposite Sex. The Holy Spirit and the Opposite Sex. And I read this chapter, and I felt like I would vomit. I felt I would vomit. He goes into the chapter, and he says that he learned that nothing on earth is as sacred as the body of a girl. And that the Holy of Holies is the vagina of the girl. And that a husband coming upon the Holy of Holies, well, I don't even want to get you any more into it. One man sees the Holy of Holies. Folks, this is not the opposite sex. But I realize that this is right out of the Jewish book of life, or the Jewish tree of life. This is right out of the Kabbalah. And I realize that Jack Hiles was teaching from the Jewish Kabbalah and translating it for Christians. And then today, since 2001, Pastor Jack Schaap has been with First Baptist Church. And he recently admitted to a sexual affair with a teen, with a 15-year-old girl. He's been forced out of the church. He's wanting to see her Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is not a woman's vagina. This is the kind of junk you get with a very large First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, mixing the Jewish Kabbalah and sex and the Holy of Holies and all this stuff. We're looking at the Jews, the anti-Semites, and this will make you anti-Semite if you're not one already. And we're just looking at these things, and we're remembering what Moses said to his people. And it's moved from the Jewish church, the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2 and 3, into the church of the living God. This is Tex Mar. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this brief message. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. I hope you've got my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. It will teach you the difference between the words anti-Semite and anti-Christ. And, you know, it's important for you to understand these words, because it's like a minefield out there. You've got to keep your minds on Christ Jesus. When you turn to the book of Revelation in the Bible, you find that Jesus is the spirit of prophecy and that his is the name above all names. He is the Alpha and the Omega. In Philippians, it says that he has a name that is greater than any other. And we've got to keep that name in mind because we're going to be led into all of these things, into Judaism, into the Kabbalah, into the female teachings of the Kabbalah. You see, the Jews have much more than the Old Testament to teach you. That's only the beginning. If you accept that the Old Testament is greater than the New Testament, then you're in big, big trouble. In fact, the Old Testament simply points to the coming of Jesus Christ and of the New Testament. So you've got to keep your mind fixed always on Jesus Christ. On Jesus Christ. Now, there's so much more to this book, the political, the economic, but I just wanted to mention that to you, that it's so important for you to understand that we're really not Judeo-Christians. We're simply Christians. Christians. And there's a big difference between a Judeo-Christian and simply a Christian. Conspiracy of the Six Pointed Star, $25. Add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $30 for this outstanding book. Here's how to get your copy. For $30, please send it to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now you can get it by going to our website, and I think you're going to enjoy that website, powerofprophecy.com. powerofprophecy.com. Order the book Conspiracy of the Six Pointed Star for a total of $30. Now it's much bigger than a regular book, about three times the size, but you'll find so many photographs, so many things of interest in this book, and you'll want your own copy of it. And you'll want to keep it in your library for the rest of your life to add to your great depth of knowledge in the biblical field. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. By the way, you'll see a beast, a serpent, lashing out at the water in a six-pointed star. And you'll ask yourself, what is the meaning of the six-pointed star? It's the sign, you know, of the Jews. But is it not the meaning of the mysterious number 666? Yes, it is. And in this book, it will explain to you exactly why this is given that number. And yet, even the Jews themselves do not realize why. You ask a Jew, what does this mean, this number 666. Oh, well, I don't know. But it's a good number, they'll tell you. It's a good number. And in fact, the Jewish religionist will tell you that 666 is a holy number, is a Messianic number, and is the number of Judaism. So you see right away that we're on to something very, very big here. Now, again, for $30, please send your gift to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or you can order from powerofprophecy.com. Use your charge card, your PayPal, or another vehicle, and order right online. Okay, now you can phone us. Our phone number, of course, is 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. And now we're going to return to Power of Prophecy, looking today at the meaning of the words Antichrist and anti-Semite. I've said that I would much prefer to be called an anti-Semite by people who think I'm one than to be an Antichrist and actually to be one. Believe me. You know, I recently offered a book in the ministry here. We don't have it anymore. What the Talmud really says about Jesus. It's a book by Peter Schaefer from Princeton University. He's head of the Princeton University Judaic Studies Program, Dr. Peter Schaefer, one of the world's most famous academic authorities on Judaism. And Dr. Schaefer decided that the Talmud, which is a book that he loves, needs to very clearly strike out against the things that he calls lies, one of which is Jesus. Well, I appreciate him doing so. The fact is, there's no greater enemy of Jesus Christ than Judaism and the Jewish extremists who have so much influence over the American media and American politics. So, I mean, the Jews are only about 3% of America, but they contribute about 60% of all the political contributions. Think about that for just a moment, won't you? So, Princeton University Press has published Dr. Peter Schaefer's new book, Jesus in the Talmud. And, you know, it's a lot different than when you see a rabbi on TV. Oh, they'll say the nicest things about, you know, about Judeo-Christianity and how the Talmud is a wonderful book that fosters Jewish-Christian relations and so forth. But Dr. Peter Schaefer says the truth. What the Talmud really says about Jesus, that Jesus is burning in hell, that Jesus was a blasphemer, that Jesus, well, you know, it goes on and on, that Mary was a whore, and so forth. Why would it do such a thing? Because it hates Jesus. Because the Talmud is a hateful book of bigotry and racism against all but the Jews. This is just true. And you know, before Dr. Schaefer's book, well, I give him full credit. Because, you know, he says, I want to tell the truth about the Jews, what we really do believe about Jesus. Now, more recently, we've got a book out called The Everlasting Hatred, The Roots of Jihad by Hal Lindsey. Well, Hal Lindsey, you know, Hal Lindsey has become rich and he's put off three or four wives. I think he's married to his fourth wife. He doesn't even marry him anymore. And by the way, he never really wrote the late great Planet Earth. He was a tugboat captain. And it was written by C.C. Carlson, whose real name is Carla Carlson. That's the way things are done in the Judeo-Christian community. I can go and look at a typical bestseller list of Christian books, and six or eight of the top 10 at any given time are not written by the person who said that they wrote them. They're written by ghostwriters. And this is what the Jews do for money. But we Christians don't do that. We write our books because we believe that they will resonate with the mind of those who have the mind of Christ. Well, in any case, you know, Hal Lindsey has a book out, The Everlasting Hatred, The Roots of Jihad by Hal Lindsey. Of course, it's a book that talks about the Muslims and how much hatred they have. Meanwhile, Moody has put out a classic book called The Names of God. It's written by Nathan Stone, a Jew, 1944. And Spengler, also a Jew, writes, well, that this book, The Names of God, gives you all of the names of God that are found in the Old Testament. Now, I'm trying to figure this out. All the names of God that are written in the Old Testament, what good will they do us in the New Testament? the names of God. Why do we want a Jewish book called The Names of God? I know his name. His name is Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names. Why do I have to go back and get all these names? Then there's Islam, The Christ of Antichrist by Jack Smith. Well, another book out there, Islam, The Cloak of Antichrist. Then there's a book by Joel Richardson called The Islamic Antichrist. Now that must be a real good one. The Cloak of Antichrist. Then of course there's The Harbinger. The Harbinger. The Inverted Tree. And I think this book is interesting by Jonathan Kahn, who's a Jewish Christian. Now, I did some study on this Messianic rabbi, Jonathan Kahn, and this book that's published in January of 2012. And basically, in his video talks, and by the way, he has a church where he's a rabbi of in New Jersey. And, you know, I even looked in there. You can go online and look up his church and so forth. Rabbi Kahn, there with his beard and all. And you can learn all about the Kabbalistic book, the Zohar. Here from the Zohar is some things that you'd like to know about. In the Golgotha, 6,000 myriads of worlds which move on feet and lean on them. And from that Golgotha, dew drips upon him who is outside and fills his head every day. As it is written, my head is filled with dew, from Psalms 5:2. It goes on to talk about, well, what does it talk about? It talks about the Zohar speaks. Now, Rabbi Kahn, this so-called Christian, argues that the Golgotha, the skull in the Zohar, is a reference, albeit unwitting, to Golgotha, the skull on the hill of Calvary. Well, don't look for Golgotha, not in the new versions of the Bible, because it's not there anymore. I was up in Canada, and they had a prophecy conference. I was one of the speakers there. And we had a church, the Calvary Chapel. And the word Calvary and the word Golgotha was missing from the New Testaments. And I said, I guess you're going to have to change the name of this church. How many here have King James? And only had about 10 people out of, you know, 500 that had the name of the right Bible, the King James Version. I said, well, this church is called Calvary Church. Now, this church was put here before the new versions were. Looks like y'all going to have to change the name of the church. The Calvary Church, what is it all about? Well, the Golgotha of the Zohar is the skull or cranial cavity of the Kabbalistic Godhead in which thousands of worlds exist and from which emanations project to support a Messiah-type figure in the worlds below. Each of the worlds has one of these heads, one of these cranial things. Now, people tell me, you know, oh, I love to well, in the Golgotha sit thousands of myriads of worlds. The dew is the lights of the Ancient One. You see, the Zohar is out of the Kabbalah. And the Zohar has a number of gods. And the Zohar is the skull. So, you know, in one of the holy days of the Jews, the skull is put on the table. And a candle is put in the skull. And they read from the Zohar. Now, I'm told, I have not even read this book, The Harbinger, by Jonathan Kahn. It is such a big seller. But evidently it's a Masonic book, The So-Called Secret Destiny of America, Perfecting the Plan of the Ages to Set Up the Machinery of a World Brotherhood of Nations. So this is what we're trying to get at, the misuse of scriptures, the inverted, the Sephirotic tree that's been exalted by magicians and occultists for centuries. So I don't know if Jonathan Kahn knows what he's doing. Does he know what he's doing when he talks about the skull from the Zohar and myriads, thousands of worlds? I don't know. Does Jack Hiles, pastor of the 15,000 member Hammond Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, does he know when he talks about the Holy of Holies? You know, God came down when Jesus went to the cross. The hands of God came down and ripped the veil from top to bottom. The veil of the Holy of Holies, and left the temple forever. Now, that place was desolate from that moment. But here we have Jack Hiles, and now we have Pastor Jack Shapp, a First Baptist Hammond, admitting to the sexual affair with his teen girl. By the way, the FBI is investigating because he took her to some motel or whatever, you can't, let's just say, have sex with a girl in a motel that's, in another state. That's interstate communication or commission of a crime. Jack Shapp's been fired from the First Baptist Hammond Church. Nowadays, you know, you get in trouble like that. Now, Jack Hiles was never fired, although he had an affair with the secretary of the church for years. And now we have Jack Shapp of First Baptist Hammond. He was caught because of his cell phone. From what we understand, a deacon picked up a phone one night at the pulpit, and to return it, the pastor had accidentally left it in the pulpit. And the guy went to return the phone to the pastor, and he saw a real juicy picture of the pastor and the young girl on it. He took the picture of Jack Shapp and this girl doing something, if you know what I mean. Why they would want to picture themselves? Why would the guy want a woman, a young girl? And he's 50 some odd years old. And why would they want to talk about the Holy of Holies in connection with that? You see, they pervert. It's bad enough to have a sexual relationship, but to pervert that into the Holy of Holies and talk about how God wants you to, I mean, come on, guys. Well, now I understand in Purim, and by the way, Purim is the holy day when the serpent head, I call it the serpent head, the skull, is produced and put on the altar and all of that. And some Christians say, well, we got to go worship. We got to, you know, do the Purim, a major Judaic celebration each year. Now, Purim is in the Old Testament, all right. It's in the book of Esther, but read it, it's not very nice. Now, regardless of the fact that Esther prays a lot and her cousin Mordecai pray a lot, they do a lot of things too. She becomes the one for the king. The king gets rid of his wife Vashti, who is a very virtuous and good woman, and he wants to have another wife. So the drunken king goes out and brings in a bunch of women and tries them out one night at a time. And Esther wins the contest. So she becomes the new queen. But she never tells the king that she's a Jew. She keeps that from him. And then finally it comes to where Haman intends to kill all the Jews, etc. Doesn't realize that the queen is Jewish and so forth. The word of Esther never mentions God. The word God is never mentioned in the book of Esther. And this is a plan of the Jews to assassinate, to murder 75,000. It's a mass murder. And they murder all these people. And this Esther is so brutal and so evil that she goes out and first she gets all the 10 sons of Haman and kills them, hangs them. Then she takes their bodies back to Shushan, the capital city, and hangs them again. She hanged them twice, the 10 sons of Haman. Then she goes around and tries to find everyone who doesn't love the Jews. She finds 500 in the palace, and she takes them out and hangs all of them. And still her bloodlust is not meted out until she gets 75,000 and kills all of them. And the drunken king, yeah, whatever you want to do, Esther, just go and do it. Well, Pastor Lon Solomon is head of the massive McLean, Virginia Bible Church. McLean, Virginia Bible Church. Thousands of members. 13,000 regular attendees on a Sunday. He plays at being a Jew and a Christian. He mixes up a dash of Talmudic Judaism into his Christian sermons and his references to the book of Esther. But Purim is a feast that celebrates the murder of innocents found in the book. Esther, that does not even mention God. In chapters 99 of the book, it says, thus the Jews smote all their enemies with a stroke of the sword and slaughter and destruction and did what they would unto those who hated them. How do they know they hated them? Don't look. Don't look, Esther. I'm coming for you. Where should Esther and her cousin Mordecai be? They should have been back in Jerusalem. They should have been back. They're 75 years, was it, of Jeremiah was up. And they were still there. So we have this scene in which they murder 75,000 and they take their property and redistribute it. And then they murder 500 more servants of the castle. Boy, everybody was afraid of that Esther, weren't they? And her cousin, who became the vizier, the second ranking man in the castle. So this is the way the Jews do it. Now, not too long ago, Benjamin Netanyahu came to America and he gave President Obama a gift, a copy of the book of Esther. It was approaching the time for the Jews to have their Purim festival. And he noted that the Jews kill the ones that God wants them to kill, although God is never mentioned in the book of Esther. And he gave it to him as a gift, a very meaningful gift, the book of Esther. I don't think it was lost on President Obama what to do. The alien mind of the Jews. You see, what would the Christians do? if we still had this horrible exercise, this holy day of Esther, we wouldn't go out and kill 75,000 people. We wouldn't kill Haman and his 10 sons. We wouldn't kill the 500 servants in Shushan at the palace. We'd forgive all of them. Jesus never killed a person. You can't find one example of Jesus killing one person. And the Jews still do it. I was reading about the Jewish structure, the mind, the alien mind of the Jew. And one of the contingents forming the activities of Jewish thought is always to obtain an advantage over the Gentiles, who the Jews deridingly call the Goyim. This is from Real Jew News, Brother Nathaniel. They always look for one ultimate goal, to obtain an advantage over the Gentiles. A second component is they see themselves as Jews first. Whatever nation they reside in, whether it's America or Mexico, or Spain or Germany, is it good for us? They put their interest above those of their host nation. And then finally, third, they always ask of a political candidate, is he good for the Jews? They never ask the question, is he good for America? Is he good for the Jews? And then finally, do you favor an Israeli strike? It can be on Iran. It can be on Syria. It can be on Lebanon. It can be on Gaza. But that's a question you ask. Do you favor a military strike? And always you will have the answer back, yes. The Jews' thoughts are directed toward obtaining advantage over the Gentiles. The Jews' thoughts are the Jews first. Put their interest above those of the host nation. And during an election campaign, is it good for the Jews? Not is it good for America. Is it good for the Jews? That's the way the Jewish mind thinks. Everything for the Jews. Everything is puts the Jews in command. The Jews in the lead. As far as Christians go, we always ask the question, is it good for Jesus Christ? And we always put ourselves way, way down the line. Way down the line. Because we're Christians. That's why. Well, Antichrist or anti-Semite? I'd much rather be called an anti-Semite, wouldn't you? Rather than the Antichrist. So when preaching the truth brings you the disapproval of men, remember, when people call you anti-Semite, you just smile and say, well, brother, maybe I am an anti-Semite because I love the Jews and I love the non-Jews as well. And next time, we'll have another session of this show. Please tune in and discover the power of prophecy.